from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun? Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes. All inviting you to...
Easy, easy now, Jim. Take it very easy. Lean on me. Ooh, the doctor said you mustn't put any weight on that foot till the plaster's set. Now, how's it feeling now?
Oh, it's agony, Bentley. Searing, unbearable torment. Relentless, ceaseless, I should have said, pain. Blinding, unendurable, jagged agony. Thank goodness I'm not one to complain.
That is a blessing, isn't it?
I don't believe in burdening others with my suffering. Oh, plucky Jim.
Jim, keep your voice down. If anybody catches us in this empty studio in mid-afternoon, we've had it.
Oh.
Now, let me get that big chair over. You'll be more comfortable sitting down.
Oh, thank you, Bent. The way you've behaved since my accident, you've been really, well...
I don't like seeing any fellow creature suffer, however low. There's your chair, old friend.
Right on the foot!
You're becoming a real hypochondriac. Now listen, Jim. Here's why I brought you down here.
Now, what's up?
This accident of yours may put us in the big money at last.
How's that?
When I went to bed last night, your foot kept going round and round in my head.
Yes, I often dream of that too.
Now look, Jim. What exactly happened with this accident?
Well, it's quite simple enough, actually. I broke a small bone in the metatarsal region.
What were you doing round there?
It's a surgical... It's the instep, you see, but it's the top part of your foot. The bit that gets dirty when you wear sandals.
Yes. But how did you break the bone?
Well, it was one of those silly things. You know, I was in a pantomime.
I did.
You did know that,
yes.
Well, at one point, I was supposed to do a sort of jump of joy into the air, you see. Well, this night, I sort of misjudged it. I came down with my full 16 stone this foot, twisted it under me, broke the bone, and I lay there faint with pain. The kids loved it.
Yeah, well, that's show business. All you need is one good break. I beg your pardon. Jim, look, our moment has arrived.
Yes.
Jim, we're going to get £25,000 for your broken foot.
What? How?
You are going to sue the BBC for negligence.
The BBC? But it got nothing to do with them. You've gone daft, Bentley. You've gone suddenly stark, raving bonkers. I knew it would happen, you know. You've been dangerously overexcited ever since they announced that the skirts were going to be shorter.
Have you quite finished your outburst?
Yes.
Thank you. Then, may I remind you that when it comes to suing, you are talking to a man who knows what he's at. I'm acknowledged to be one of the biggest suers in the business.
I needn't add anything to that, really, neither.
Yes.
You tell me how we can possibly make out that this broken foot here is the BBC's fault.
Easy. Suppose when we were broadcasting in the studio 2 days before your accident, suppose you tripped over a hole in the stair carpet.
Yeah.
Well, you think nothing of it at the time, except it does leave your foot a bit wobbly.
Oh, yeah.
However, 2 days later, when you do your leap in the theatre, disaster. The foot gives way.
Ah.
Jim, in law, that makes the whole thing the BBC's fault for their negligence in having a hole in their carpet.
Bentley, that is Machiavellian.
No, it's Axminster.
Oh.
I tell you, Jim, this scheme's a cert.
All except for one little thing.
What's that?
There isn't a hole in the stair carpet.
Jim.
Yeah?
Look. Just a minute. I get this thing.
Oh, scissors. You cunning old fox.
Yes.
Scissors.
Yes, I know. Yes.
I know, but the listeners might not.
Well, I can really, they go. Didn't you wonder why I stopped at the ironmonger's to buy a pair of scissors, as you call them?
I thought it was because we were lunching at Castelli's. I know the trouble you have with spaghetti. I never snip them about in front of my mistakes.
I'm terribly sorry. Well, now, perhaps you'll also realize now why we had to come to the studio when it's empty.
Oh.
Yes. Now, you keep caving. I'll nip out and slice a nice jagged rip halfway up the stairs.
You're quite sure the studio is empty, Bentley?
Jim, I don't make mistakes. If I tell you there's nobody here, there's nobody here.
What's that, then? What's that?
Don't panic, Jim. Mice, that's all. Just mice.
Well, that's a novelty. Singing mice.
I don't understand.
It's a cleaner, your clock. Well, that's polished it completely. When she sees you hacking away at the carpet...
Well, she won't. Jim, you call her in here.
Yeah.
Engage her in a conversation. Yeah. While she's busy with you, I'll slip off and get hacking.
Oh, yes, I can.
Hello? What are you doing sitting here, then?
So you, madam, are the owner of that glorious contralto voice, which I heard is suing from the broom cupboard. Dare I ask you to sing me another snatch?
Me? Get on with you. I've got better things to do. I've got to scrub the stair carpet.
The stair carpet? No, come back. Now, what's your name?
Mrs. Potter.
Perfect. Oh, perfect. I can see it now. In lights at Covent Garden.
Oh.
Tristan and Isolde.
Egypt.
Nanty. Not yet. Mrs. Potter, I wonder if I might crave a boon. I'd like to hear your voice again.
No.
I want to gauge how it would sound echoing across a vast auditorium. And I know exactly how to achieve this effect.
Oh, how's that then?
Shove the bucket over your head.
What?
Allow me.
No.
All right, Binky. Safe to come in now. Did you do it?
A great gaping rent right across the seventh stair.
Well done.
Just sign this form appointing me to act on your behalf. I'll nip straight over to the BBC legal department this minute.
Jolly good.
Now, I'll be back at 5:30 with £25,000.
Oh, fortune be with you, Bentley. I'll stay here with Pale. Can he be the old fool? What's keeping him?
I love the moon.
For goodness sake, belt up. I'm so sorry. What I mean is I don't think you should overflog that glorious instrument. Perhaps you'd better leave now. Could you just assist me with my foot, you know, to the door?
Oh, yes,
thank
of
you.
Course. Yes, yeah. Now then. Now it's through here and I'll just help you up the... Oh, look. Who's that lying on the ground then?
Bentley, I've been waiting for hours. When did you get back?
We're running up the stairs. I forgot that hole in the carpet. It's me foot, Jim. I think it's broken.
Oh, Bentley, you clawbellied idiot.
Oh, the agony. Oh. The searing unbearable.
Oh, you won't. Hey. You will never get me back.
Now when it gets too hot for comfort and you can't get ice cream cones, take no sin, take off skin and dance around in your bones. Syncopation of the music softly moans. Get no sin, take off the skin and dance around in your bones.
Polar bears ain't green on Greenland. They've got the right idea.
They think it's great to refrigerate while we all cremate down here. Just be like those bamboo babies in the South Sea tropic zones. Take no sin, take off the skin and dance around in your bones. Oh, dancing may do this and that and help you take off lots of fat, but I'm no friend of dancing when it's hot. When you are a dancing fool, but love to dance but can't keep cool, bear in mind the idea that I've got. When it gets too hot for comfort and you can't get ice cream cones, take no sin, take off the skin and dance around in your bones. And when the lazy syncopation of the music softly moans, take no sin, take off the skin and dance around in your bones. She owns. Take no sin, take off the skin and dance around in your bones. So come on, jump right out of your skin and let them bones rattle like a tin. Don't worry if you're thin as a pin or just as fat as a flower bin. Take no sin, take off the skin and dance around in your bones. Take no sin, take off the skin and dance around in your bones.
Drink, come on, Mr. Clum.
Aye.
Call an halt.
What's up?
I may say you put back quite a few tonight. You been needing any help getting out?
No, Ted, you can put the wheelbarrow away.
Hey!
What?
Whose is that face trying to peer through the lettering in your frosty glass door?
Where?
There, there, look. See where it says saloon? Yeah. Well, there's a face just behind loom.
Oh, yeah. That. Can I come in?
Well, it's my boy, Ron. Give the door a push and come in, boy. That's it, sonny boy. Dear, dear, dear. Look at you coming out without your coat this weather. You'll end up having pneumonia, that's what you'll have. Come over where it's warm. Now, what are you going to have?
Pneumonia.
I mean, nah. Now, what's a drink? Now, come on, son. Have a drink with your doting old father.
In a minute, Dad. I've got something very important to tell you.
Well, have a drink first.
Now, let me tell you first, otherwise I might forget it.
Yes, but how long does it take to order up a drink?
This is terribly important, Dad.
Oh, all right, then. Have it your own way. What is it?
Too late. I've forgotten it.
Look,
I warned you, Dad. Sometimes you act very stupid.
I'm sorry, Ronnie boy. Now then, it'll come back to you maybe, boy. Now then, now tell me, what you been doing with yourself all evening then?
I got on with my do-it-yourself set.
Do-it-yourself set?
I'm making a portable.
A portable what?
I don't know yet. I've only made the handle.
So you've only made the handle, Ron.
I've only made
the... Well, I hope it turns out as you hope it does. I hope you didn't leave that glue pot boiling on the gas stove again. You can have the whole house on fire like that, you know. But last time, the glue all boiled over and it all ran down into my supper. Remember? You can smile, Ronnie, but next morning I had to prise me dentures off the washstand with a chisel.
I wasn't smiling at that, Dad.
Oh.
It was just that something you said made me remember what I ran here to tell you.
Well, thank goodness for that, then. What is it, then?
Dad? Our house is on fire.
Watch! Oh, quick! Ted, help! Come on, let's get there! Oh, it's more.
Boy, it's yours. Get back, you people! Get back! Come in. Come on,
Robin.
Number 4,
home,
train on the roof. Are you there?
Hey, wait a minute.
Come on, get back.
Wait a minute. I'm the owner.
Hey?
It's my house. Oh, lovely home. Oh, look at it. A blazing infernal. Oh. Put it out. Put it out, mister. Put it out.
We're doing our best, sir, now. If you'd only get back a bit.
Skip, water failing on number 3. It's down to a trickle.
What?
Ron, you're standing on the hose. Oh, Mr. Farman. Can't you bring more appliances to bear? There's the treasures of a lifetime in that house.
I've got a man in there salvaging, sir. Oh. Now, is there anything of particular value you want out now?
There's my handle, Dad.
Never mind.
I made it.
Listen, mister. Tell him. Tell him there's a pair of cufflinks with horse's heads on somewhere down behind the dressing table.
Yes,
and tell him, in the dressing table, there's a return offer ticket to Cockfosters. It's still valid. Tell him. What else is there? Oh, dear. Oh, yes, in the big vase, tell him. In the parlour, there's a pair of spare brown bootlaces.
Right. I've got all that now. You sure there's nothing else you want us to bring out?
No, that's the lot.
Right.
What about Mum?
Oh! Oh, love me. Me darling dear wife. She's up in that bedroom. I sent her there to lie down on her bed this afternoon.
But is she ill?
No. I got me brown trousers under the mattress. I wanted a press for the Masonic Saturday. She's up there in that room, officer. She's a heavy sleeper.
Hello,
oh, look, Dad. They've got a ladder up to her window.
Oh,
and look. Oh, there's a fireman coming out.
Oh, good.
He's got Mum over his shoulder.
Oh, my wife. My darling wife. My helpmate. My prop. Oh, you're all right, my darling. I told you she was a heavy sleeper. Wake up, you stupid fat old lump!
Wanakin, John Askin, easy enough for him, Tom.
Very good work, Robbins. Dear. Well, sir, it's practically out.
Oh,
sir, I'm afraid there's an awful mess in there. You'll have to think about where you're going to sleep tonight.
Oh, that's no problem in a community like this, so close-knit.
Yeah.
These people standing round here in their pyjamas, they're all me. Friends and neighbours.
Very nice.
Known me for 20 years, most of them. Friends, it looks like the Glum family's need of some hospitality for a short period. Now, which of you is going to take us in, eh? Hey, where are you all going? Come back, Mr. Rubens, Major Robertson, Mrs. Fu Wong.
Dad, they've gone in and locked their doors.
So this is your much-vaunted community spirit, is it? Rotten, stinking lot! Suburban, that's what you lot are! Well, there you are then, Ronno. Looks like there's only one place we can go. Only one person who will have us. Did you bring that wheelbarrow from the boozer?
Yes, Dad.
Well, tip your mother in it and let's be on our way.
Someday he's come along, the man I love. Mum, have you seen the white jug I mixed my neutralizer in?
It's on the sideboard, dear.
Oh.
How much longer are you going to be, Ethel? Your mother has been up in bed for half an hour.
Oh, won't be long now, Father. In the in-between years, all the time. Who's that at this hour? Shall I go, Dad?
No, no, no. Just let me look through the curtains first. Good gracious.
Who is it, Father?
It's two tramps with a bundle of old washing in a wheelbarrow. Ethel, put the chain on.
Yes.
Please let us in. I want to go to bed.
Oh, it's Ron. Mr. Glum, is something the matter?
Oh, no. Nothing's the matter. Outside of your fiancé setting fire to the arse, rendering us homeless, running over me corn with a perishing wheelbarrow. Outside of that, I got no complaints at all.
Oh, setting fire to the house?
Yeah.
Oh, well, come in then quick and sit down. You know Mr. Glum, don't you, Father?
Yes.
Nice of you to welcome us, old man. I don't think you've met my lady wife here. Ron, upend the wheelbarrow.
Righto, Dad.
She's still in merciful oblivion. Ah, God, it's good to sit down and get my feet up.
Mr. Glum, that is a polished table. Look what your hobnails are doing to the top of my box.
Father, yes? Remember what they've been through. They've lost their all.
Well, yes.
And not only our all, our front room, our scullery, our kitchen. Woof, I hope it was just like a nightmare.
Well, Mr. Glum, naturally we sympathise with your misfortune, but I don't think you should stay here.
No, you're quite right. The sooner I get up to the bedroom, the better. Which room is it,
Dr. Bet, you're going to take our bedroom?
What did I say, Ron? I knew he'd offer. Thank goodness there's still some decency left in the world.
Oh, just a minute, yes. Mr. Glum. It wants a bit of thinking out. Yes. You see, we've only got two bedrooms.
That is tricky, isn't it? Well, it's...
Yes.
There's only one way out, then. Mrs. Glum and I'll have to share a room. Ron will have the other. Come on, Ron, it's bedtime. You can skip your wash tonight.
Dad, can't I just sit here a bit longer?
No, you can't. Get up off your mother and come to bed. She'll be all right on the mat there for the time being. Good night, then.
Good night.
Good night, old man. Night. Follow me, Ron. Let's hope that sleep will soon blot out the memory of tonight's horrors, the flames, the smoke. The old horrible conflagration.
Dad, I shall never, ever, ever forget this night. You know why?
Why?
Look at me, Dad.
Take that fireman's helmet off! You'll get 14 days.
I've always...
Now come on up to bed.
Ethel, this is an intolerable imposition. It's unforgivable.
Father, you can't do otherwise. Well, think of what they've been through.
Now, they've no business to thrust themselves onto us. That Mr. Glum just calmly taking over my bedroom. What your mother will...
No.
Your mother!
Ethel?
Yes?
If I help carry your mum down, will you help carry my mum up?
More than 3 weeks your family's been here now, and I... Well, quite frankly, I don't think it's turned out all that of a good idea. You know what I mean, Ron?
No, Ethel.
Well, I'm not blaming your family, but... Well, it hasn't worked, has it?
Not for years, Ethel.
Oh, no, Ron. Worked in the sense that, well... I don't think that my father can stand much more of the behaviour. I mean, things like the time Mr. Glum gets up in the morning and Mrs. Glum not getting up at all. And then criticising the meals my mother takes them up.
Well, Well, they don't like lumpy porridge.
Still, Ron, really no call to pour it over the banisters onto her. I know, it's just thoughtlessness.
Yes.
But things like that business Thursday night, bringing all those people back here after the public house closed.
All those... There was only 11 of them, eh?
Yes, Ron, but the mess the next morning. The cigarette ends ground into the carpet and the brown ale stains on the wallpaper. I've got to say it, Ron. One just doesn't bring 11 friends back to a place where one is a guest.
But they weren't his friends, Eth. They were just people he met in the street.
Ron, dearest, don't you see? My mother and father are at the end of their tether. Any minute my father's going to put his foot down, and if he does, well, he'll make you and me break it off.
Why should he want us to break off his...
Not his foot! Break off our engagement, Ron. Yeah. We've got to persuade your parents to find alternative accommodation.
God, it's falling down outside. Pouring. And this room's like... Oh, hey, pop and tell your mother to run down the end of the garden and fetch some more coal in.
Mr. Glum!
Now, what are you staring at me for?
Isn't that my father's new overcoat you're wearing?
Well, of course it is. I didn't want to get his best suit wet. Oh, I'm feeling peckish. I could do with a bite to eat.
Hey! Supper! Come on, I'm starving here!
I've just been round having a look at my ass. I go and have a look at it every day, you know.
Mr. Glum, have you the faintest idea when it's going to be ready?
Going to be? What do you mean going to be? It was ready 10 days ago.
10 days ago? Then why on earth...
Well, I mean, it seems to have worked out so nice here. Oh. It's very rare you find two families that get on so well as we do. It's cheap and it's nice and cosy.
Glum. Hey? You'll pack up and get out of here this minute.
Get out?
Yes. You've turned our home into a pigsty.
Now, just a minute.
And look at you. Even taken to copying the very clothes I wear.
Now, then.
That overcoat is exactly... Just a minute.
Now, it's no use pleading. I am not staying now. I have my pride. Ron, we're going.
But I can't go now, Dad. I've just started making my
new... These trousers. Look, these are...
Ron, we're going. We know when we're not wanted.
Oh, no. No, you don't. Look.
All right, no, thank you, thank you. I've heard enough, thank you. A nod is as good as a wink to a blind drunk. Ron, we're going home. Well, here we are, Ron. Nothing like your own home. Ha! What do you think of the way Eth's father carried on? I hate to say it, Ron, but that family is uncouth.
I still wish you hadn't left so quickly,
Dad. Oh, will you stop harping? You've been saying that all the way home. Give me one good reason why we should have stayed in that house one more moment.
Well, because of my glue pot.
Hey?
I left it boiling on their gas stove.
Oh, no!
Yes.
Never mind that, Ethel. Help me wheel your mother in.
No, you can't stay here. You're not stopping here. It's an imposition. I'm not having you. Oh, no, you can't. Oh,
dear. I had a bit of wet sand. The BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden read the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...